Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars and personalities all across the world of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the scholar life and the life account of Sayyid Ali Husseini Khamenei, the current Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran. After the late Imam Khomeini, he is considered to be the second leader and rahbar of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was born on the 29th of Farwardin in 1318, according to the Shamsi calendar, solar calendar. And of course, he was born in a very, scholarly family in the city of Mashhad.
Yes.
And it is said that, his father, Sayyid Jawad Khamenei,
yes,
was among the Mujtahideen, was a very great scholar, who was originally, I think, from Tabriz, and they migrated from Tabriz to Mashhad.
Yes.
And then Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was born in Mashhad.
Khamenei is an original city in Azerbaijan province. That's right. Okay.
Yes. Yes, his father was also a great scholar who was studied also in Najaf al-Ashraf, was among the students of Na'ini and Sayyid Abul Hassan Isfahani and Ziauddin Iraqi. So, of course, as we see, the supreme leader was son of a great scholar.
You mean Sayyid Jawad Khamenei?
Yes, Sayyid Jawad Khamenei. His
Mujtahid,
father was a great scholar and Mujtahid. That's why he was brought up by a Mujtahid, by a scholar, in a very, scholarly family in Mashhad.
Yes.
And yes, the supreme leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafizahullah, of course, started his primary studying and, education in Mashhad. He learned Quran Karim, he learned Tajweed, and he went to the, school and, studied in different, primary school, intermediary school, and also high school. And then his Hawzawi life, he studied in, different madaris, and finally he went for this kharij in the presence of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali, Sayyid Muhammad Hadi Milani.
Yes.
He attended his Dars-e Kharij, which is the most advanced level of, studies in the Hawza al-Ilmiya. And of course, and then he moved to Qom, and in 1343, he started his activities, scholarly activities, political activities in the city of Qom.
Okay, all in all, he benefited from the presence of outstanding scholars of his time, especially in the city of Mashhad. And then because of with his migration, he was among the people who supported Islamic revolution of Iran before Inqilab, one of the main outstanding students of the late Imam Khomeini. Usually the scholarly life of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei is overshadowed by his political role as the leader, as the rabbi. But like the late Imam Khomeini, his scholar life is fruitful too, isn't it, Sayyid Mohsen?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, rightly said that his scholarly life, obviously, it was fruitful. And we can see that when he moved to Mashhad from Qom, he started to teach the higher educations in the seminary like fiqh and the usul, and there are many lectures that he started, obviously, And he started to even teach the tafsir of the Quran.
Yes.
As a special subject in 1348.
Okay.
Shamsi. And after that, obviously, he had the lectures in the Kharij. Obviously, you know, in the Mujtahid or Maraj or jurist, when they deliver Kharij, means obviously they are at the high level of mm-hmm. the teaching.
And still, so, he has.
Yes.
And say,
these yeah. teachings, obviously, when he started, it was like in different chapters, like yes. Jihad, Qisas, there mm-hmm. was Maqasib al-Muharrama. Obviously, these are the topics. Which he still have it. Oh,
yes.
And, you know, on top of that, he also have the Sharia Hadith as well.
Yes.
You know, he reads a Hadith of Usul al-Kafi, for mm-hmm. example, and then he explains. A couple of videos are also, you know, they are
available. And his website, yes. Khamenei.ir or Leader.ir.
Which are
That's
related
right.
to the Sharia Hadith. And
yes.
on top of that, obviously, you know, for our general listeners, whenever they see a gathering where there are the ulama sitting in front of him,
yes,
and he's talking about the hadith,
it is
or
a teaching course,
or yes,
yes,
it is basically his teaching course where he still have this okay. teaching. Other than that, obviously he had the books as well,
yes,
which he wrote, or you know there are some books which are compiled based on his lectures,
yes,
and the very first book that we can talk about is which is about the overall. Idea of the, you know, the Quran.
Yes.
And it is in the name
The Islamic thought in the Quran.
Yes, Islamic
yes,
thought in the
map
Quran.
Of the Quran, that's right.
And these are the, you know, the lectures that he delivered in Mashhad, for example, in which he had the exegesis of the Quran. Other than that, the first book, his juristic book,
yes.
based on jurisprudence, was the book of Ghina wa Mawsiqi.
Yes, yes.
Like Ghina and Mawsiqi, obviously
yes.
this is a hot topic for
yes,
us
yes.
for this time. And it's every time that, you know, the singers or the people who love to sing or who are involved in the music, what are the limits? Because, you know, it is important to know that there's a specific time when the music, there's a limitation of the use of instruments, for example, or the voice
mm-hmm.
in the music. So he has addressed this issue. And obviously, it was based on 76 lectures, which was the Kharij lectures. And obviously, later it was published. And this book is over, like, you know, 1,100 pages.
So you mean this is a fiqh look at music?
Yes,
yes.
It is a fiqh look at the music.
That's
on top
right.
of that, obviously, because he is a poet as well.
Uh-huh.
And he knows.
He knows literature very well.
He knows the literature,
yes,
Ahsan,
yes, yes.
very
yes,
well.
Yes.
And on top of that, he knows the sounds.
Yes.
And, you know, Alhan, what we
yes,
say.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
in his book, he talks about this.
Alhan,
that
that's right. Yes.
You need to know about these things before you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he refers to his teacher as well, where he got it, like, you know, the lessons which he used to attend. So
okay.
basically, this is one of the books. Another book which is very much famous is 250 Years of the Man.
250-year man.
250-year man.
In Sanad
Yusuf Panjo Saleh,
that's right.
And
this book has been also translated.
Yes, this is a historical book. Initially, it came as a summary, like it was a small book, which is based on the 250 years of Ahlul Bayt, starting
oh,
from the
oh, this,
Prophet
this,
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Oh, this number refers to the Ahlul
yes,
Bayt, Imam,
Ahlul
you
Bayt.
Mean? From Imam
it,
Ali to
no,
Imam
No, it starts from the Prophet.
A Prophet, okay.
You know, from the beginning of Islam
okay.
till the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Uh-huh. Obviously, this is 250 years of Islam, the first 250 years.
That's right.
And it is based on the historical factor, and not only the historical, it's the analysis of the history. You know, once you just interpret the history, you just, you know, talk about the history, and once you bring your commentary on it,
yes,
and you analyze what happened, why it happened, and how it happened. So basically, it is the analytical look of the historical factor of
right.
the Ahlul Bayt,
okay.
why they performed things like they did so, and it brings the reasoning as well.
That's right. Okay, thank you, Sayyid Mohsen Nawi.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah. Sheikh Rouhani, Sheikh Razi Al Yassin has a book about the peace treaty of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. And Ayatollah Khamenei has translated this book from Arabic into Persian language. One of the most outstanding translation that has been done on this book. What is this book exactly?
So you know that the peace treaty or agreement signed between Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wassalam and Muawiyah, son of Abu Sufyan, was one of the very significant events that happened in the history of Islam. This peace treaty or peace agreement, of course, has lots of lessons for nowadays, for our today's life. That's why, you know, sometimes there might be a kind of misconception or misinterpretation of the qiyam of the resistance of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam against the tyrant ruler who was Yazid, son of Muawiyah. Sometimes some people might say that, yeah, we have to always be ready to resist, to fight, for example, against the tyrant, let's say, rulers. And it is the duty of Muslims that should be always ready to, for example, wage war against this kind of people. Yeah. This kind of understanding might be still among some of the Shiites. It is said that some of the Zaydi Shias are of such a view that they are always ready for revolting, for example, against the tyrant, let's say, and oppressor rulers. Mm-hmm. But the peace treaty and agreement between Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam and Muawiyah, it tells us that no, we have to manage, we have to actually control each and everything based on hikmah, based on wisdom. That's why we have to do whatever is more beneficial, more, let's say, useful and helpful for the religion of Islam. The whole religion. That's why these kind of lessons are always significant or always important for the Muslims. Based on this kind of, let's say, understanding of Islam is that we see that later the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei tries to bring a kind of coexistence or, let's say, a peaceful kind of life among different denominations within Islam, because the taqrib bain al-madhahib al-islami is one of the main ideas of the Supreme Leader.
That's right.
And also he actually was against some specific kind of, let's say, actions and performance and different kind of Islamic rituals.
That's right.
Like, for example, he actually issued a fatwa and verdict against the cursing, for example, the companions of the Holy Prophet, the wives of the Holy
Caliph.
Prophet. Yeah, the Caliph.
That's right. Respect for respect our Sunni brethren. That's
Sunnah,
right.
Of course. And for example, Qamazani or Zanjir, which
tatbir.
Is a kind of
tatbir,
yeah. Is a specific kind of, let's say, tatbir in among the Shias.
Yes, he also, the
prevented the Shia from
really
these kind of actions. Yeah.
Such things,
and he very much focused on, let's say, peaceful kind of life among Muslims.
And dialogue between...
communication, respected the Ahl al-Sunnah, respected the Christians, the Jews, and inside the Islamic Republic
of Iran. And minorities
in
Iran, you know, that they have a member in the parliament. Yeah. And
so mostly he focused on this kind of peaceful life with non-Muslims, with Muslims. But of course, whenever Muslims or the Shias are attacked, of course, again, he is severely ready to resist against them, to fight against them. So self-defense is something that is accepted for all the nations across the globe. Mm-hmm. Same is the case with the Shia Muslims. We have the right to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves against the attacks of the invaders or, let's say, the enemies. But it is in the cases where we are attacked. But in the normal life, in our peaceful life with non-Muslims, with Muslims, we always try to pursue this kind of model that is suggested by the Supreme Leader and many other scholars in the history of Islam.
That's all right. Off top, Dar Masaf is another book written by him about the historical and sociocultural reasons and the backgrounds for the story of Karbala. How did it happen and what were the effects? All in all, we could say that the scholar life of Ayatollah Khamenei is neglected, and mostly the we can say the political life overshadows his scholarly life. But as a leader and as a rapper of the Islamic Republic of Iran, he benefits very much from his trainings, you know, yes, we can right. say his thoughts, which are based on true Islamic teachings of Islam, Islamic awakening. We can say this, different letters that he has sent to different people all around the world, to the youth of the West, you know, to the youth of the Muslim lands, how the Western powers try to give a distorted picture of Islam and awakening them about the true Islam are all the achievements of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Yes, okay. Sorry, one point that I wanted to add is this, that when it comes to the scholarly life of these scholars, sometimes we have very great scholars, very great ulama,
yes.
who just studied in Hawza al-Ilmiya, in Madaris and the Islamic seminaries. Mm-hmm. You know, they do not have any experiences of practicing the Islamic rulings, the Islamic principles, and the political life, and economic life, social life, you know?
Yes.
So, but sometimes you have some scholars like the supreme leader, who not only, for example, learned these Islamic principles mm-hmm. and rulings, but also he practiced for example, about 4 decades of his life. He practiced them practically. And that's why now if he teach the people, if he write, for example, if he present a lecture, a speech on these kind of principles based on this, what he experienced in the whole life,
mm-hmm.
that is more valuable. You know, sometimes theoretically you might know something.
Yes.
And you theoretically, for example, discuss in your books different issues, different fatwas, different principles. But the point is that when it comes to the practice,
yes,
how does it work in a practical life, and what are some solutions, what are some new ideas, what are some refreshment, for example, regarding those ideas in your practical life, that is very much significant, that is very much helpful and useful for the Islamic, for the Muslim nation and Ummah.
That's right.
That's why his scholarly life is different from the other scholars. And it is very much significant to be taken into consideration.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for a nice elaboration regarding the scholarly life of Sayyid Ali Husseini Khamenei, the current leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And thank you very much, dear listeners. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode introducing another Shia dignitary. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.